Now I seek the meads of shining Moly I had found in some remoter vision, by a stream no cloud hath ever tarnished, where the sun, a gold narcissus, loiters evermore above his golden image. But I find a corpse the ebbing water will not keep, with eyes like sapphires that have lain in hell and felt the hissing embers. And the flowers about me turn to hooded serpents, swayed by flutes of devils in a hellish dance, meet for the nod of Satan when he arraigns above the raging Sabbath and is wooed by sarabands of witches. But I turn to mountains guarding with their horns of snow the source of that befouled rill, and seek a pinnacle where none but eagles climb, and they with failing pennons. But in vain I flee, for on that pylon of the sky some curse hath turned the imprinted snow to flame, red fires that curl and cluster to my tread, trying the summit's narrow cirque. And now I see a silver python far beneath, vast as a river that a fiend hath witched and forced to flow remiant in its course to fountains whence it issued. Rapidly it winds from slope to crumbling slope and fills ravines and chasmal gorges till the crags totter with coil on coil incumbent. Soon it hath entwined the pinnacles I keep, and gapes with a fanged, unfathomable maw, wherein great Typhon and Enceladus were orts of daily glut. But I am gone, for at my call a hippogriff hath come, and firm between his thunder-beating wings I mount the sheer cerulean walls of noon, and see the earth, a spurned pebble, fall, lost in the fields of nether stars, and seek a planet where the out-wearied wings of time might pause and furl for respite, or the plumes of death be stayed, and loiter in reprieve above some deathless lily. For therein beauty hath found an avatar of flowers, blossoms that clothe it as a colored flame, from peak to peak, from pole to sullen pole, and turn the skies to perfume. There I find a lonely castle, calm and unbeset, save by the purple spears of amaranth and tender sworded iris, walls upbuilt of flushed marble, wonderful with rose, and domes like golden bubbles, and minarets that take the clouds as coronal. These are mine, for voiceless looms the peaceful barbican, and the heavy-teethed portcullis hangs aloft, as if to smile a welcome. So I leave my hippogriff to crop the magic meads, and pass into a court the lilies hold, and tread them to a fragrance that pursues to win the portico, whose columns, carved of lazuli and amber, mock the palms of bright Edenic forests, capitaled with fronds of stone fretted to airy lace, and folding droops that seem as tawny clusters of breasts of unknown houris, and convolved with vines of shut and shadowy leaved flowers, like the dropped lids of women that endure some loin dissolving rapture. Through a door inlaid with lilies twined luxuriously, I enter, dazed and blinded with the sun, and here, in gloom that changing colors cloud, a chuckle sharp as crepitating ice, upheaved and cloven by shoulders of the damned, who strive in Antonora. When my eyes undazzle, and the cloud of color fades, I find me in a monster-guarded room, where marble apes with wings of griffins crowd, on walls an evil sculptor wrought, and beasts wherein the sloth and vampire bat unite, pendulous by their toes of tarnished bronze, usurp the shadowy interval of lamps that hang from ebon arches. Like a ripple borne by the wind from pool to sluggish pool, in fields where wide Cocytus flows his bound, a crackling smile round that circle runs, and all the stone-wrought gibbons stare at me with eyes that turn to glowing coals. A fear that found no name in Babel flings me on, breathless and faint with horror, to a hall within whose weary self-reverting round the languid curtains, heavier than palls, innumerably depict a weary king who fain would cool his jewel-crusted hands in lakes of emerald evening, or the fields of dreamless poppies pure with rain. I flee onward, and all the shadowy curtains shake with tremors of a silken sighing mirth, and whispers of the innumerable king, breathing a tale of ancient pestilence, whose very words are vile contagion. Then I reach a room where Caryatides, carved in the form of tall, voluptuous Titan women, surround a throne of flowering ebony, where creeps a vine of crystal. On the throne there lolls a wan, enormous worm, whose bulk, tumid with all the rottenness of kings, o'erflows its arms with fold on creased fold of fat obscenely bloating. Open-mouthed he leans, and from his throat a score of tongues, depending like to wreaths of torpid vipers, drivel with phosphorescent slime that runs down all his length of soft and monstrous folds, and creeping among the flowers of ebony, lends them the life of tiny serpents. Now, ere the horror ope those red and lashless slits of eyes that draw the gnat and midge, I turn and follow down a dusty hall whose gloom, lined by the statues with their mighty limbs, ends in a golden roofed balcony sphering the flowered horizon.